Hello and welcome to another Niche to Necessity podcast hosted by myself. My name is Taylor Zork. Today we have a very special guest. We have Ben Roy. He's the CEO and founder of Novez, which is attempting to simplify blockchain data. They have a tool that helps you kind of compile the data on chain and have it in a more readable, kind of more human, have it shed it in a nice, more human light, right? So thank you for joining us, Ben. And yeah, could you please introduce yourself and kind of tell me a little bit more about how you got into the space?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks. Happy to be here. So I've been hanging around the crypto space since 2012. Actually, I had a friend who was a super early adopter of Bitcoin and was at an event, and he gave this talk and was talking about it, and everybody thought he sounded a little bit crazy. I think at the time it was probably like, you know, single digit prices for Bitcoin. So it was extremely early, and but if enough of it stuck that I looked into it and got involved, and kind of been in and out of it over the years through the ups and the downs. It wasn't until really the previous cycle, like DeFi summer, I had sold a web hosting company that I've been running and was kind of looking for something to do. And at the same time, everything just started going kind of nuts, especially in the Ethereum space, which as a software guy was a lot more exciting. I mean, Bitcoin is cool and all, but it was much more exciting when people were actually, you know, building things that did something, that had some kind of functionality to them. And it was just kind of like, you know, once I opened that door, it was like a one-way trip. So
yeah, I had the same kind of aha moment. Like, I'd heard about Bitcoin, I thought it was cool, you know, but I didn't really like have that kind of big click until I heard about smart contracts, Ethereum, and all that stuff. So very cool. So on that same note, what led you to start Novez, and how would you describe the product or the service that you guys offer?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a couple of things that become really obvious as problems when you start in the space. As soon as you get off of exchanges and you start actually transacting on chains, smart contract chains, a few things are like readily apparent, right? One of them is we are all placing a lot of blind trust. You know, you open up MetaMask, you start running transactions, and it asks you to confirm a thing, but you have no idea what it is that you're doing, because there's just like a wall of hexadecimal data that you're supposed to somehow make a good decision about. And there's like this hump you have to get over where you just realize you just can't make a good decision there. You just kind of have to trust that what you expect to be done is what you're signing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get past that, you're not going to make it very far, because there's just no way, right? So, but it was obvious, especially coming from a software perspective, that like, this is not how we want it to be. We need this to be better. We need to be able to understand what it is that we're doing. And then the second thing, and this, you know, you're intimately familiar with, is if you try to take your data from anything that you were doing and do something useful with that data in the real world, it's a complete non-starter, especially if you rewind, you know, two and a half years ago when we were first doing this. There's no way. Mm-hmm. We were talking about some of the trading activities. We were talking to, you know, service providers about them, and they basically said, well, look, if what you want to do is buy some tokens and hold them on an exchange, we've got you covered. We can definitely handle that. But, you know, being off on other chains off of Ethereum, especially not on Ethereum, but like in these other edgy chains, there's no way to get your data. There's no way, real way to interpret the data, especially at scale. And, you know, I think that my co-founder Juan and I we're both problem solvers. We're both real believers in, you know, the promise of blockchain and the efficiencies and the benefits, transparency that we can get from adoption. And, you know, being in the space is just like necessary for us to solve these problems for ourselves, but for other people. And, you know, that's really the mission for Novez, is to deliver better data that makes it easier for people to build other cool things, right? Like everybody's got to build the same basic, boring infrastructural pieces so that they can get to whatever cool thing it is that they actually want to build.
Uh-huh.
And we just want to shortcut that and let them build cool things on top of our boring infrastructural stuff.
Uh-huh.
So they can do their thing.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I like the allure of smart contracts and all that stuff. I mean, originally was like thinking about decentralized applications. So like, you know, a decentralized version of Spotify or like things like that. And to hear you talk about kind of making that process of looking at the data simpler so that you can get to the actual core of what we're here for, which is building these apps that kind of are self-sustaining ecosystems where we can give back to the actual creators behind the actual artwork and less towards the infrastructure of it is a really cool kind of way that you're moving towards. Nothing more frustrating than getting data off of Polygon scan or Ether scan, having to sort through each and every single different tab that has different columns on each tab and kind of, you know, get all the data together. So yeah.
As technical people, it seems doubly ridiculous because it's mm-hmm. like the tech is somehow creating a problem that's worse than it needs to be, right? Like, we're delivering this to you in a software tool. Why don't we just make the software tool give it to you the way that you would want the data in right. a way that you work with it? But we're putting up roadblocks that we don't need.
Yeah, I totally agree. What do you see as some of the potential trends for the upcoming bull market for how on-chain tools are being designed and adopted?
Well, I do see definitely in the second half of this year, and I think kind of building steam, there is definite recognition that we need better tools, we need better data, we need better kind of blockchain adjacent things. You know, earlier, if you go back a couple of years, it was just like anything that would do the job was good enough. And then mm-hmm. people are building other things. And now I think you're seeing a lot more people. Like, if you look at the number of new block explorers that have been released in the second half of this year, compared to like the 3 years before that, it's picking up steam. And which I think is great, because just accepting that the one tool that does the thing is good enough, it's not how the rest of the world works. And if we're going to get real progress here, I think we need to continue to push the boundary on things that we just sort of have been accepting are the way that they are.
You're right. And querying data on chain isn't the sexiest thing. So like it's hard to prioritize that when you're in a bull market. It's kind of a blessing in disguise when we get these lulls, you know, in the bear markets where we can just build and focus on a thing that makes it more user-friendly, that improves the UI, the UX, and all that, so that we can bring more people on board. Because biggest challenge that I come against with educating people in this space is that the mystification that they have or that they've placed on digital assets, and really doesn't have to be that mystifying, right? If you kind of bring them back to traditional assets and try to compare the two, you can draw conclusions a lot more easily. And so having data on chain that's readable, easily kind of legible to the layman as well is going to help further adoption in the long run as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And so kind of, you know, obviously your tool is helping people to read data on chain, right? And understand it better. And so obviously I think that it's a very nice function for organization, especially when you may have some people who are less literate in blockchain as well, to be using a tool like this. So kind of where overall do you see your tool fitting in the Web3 finance stack within an organization?
So the answer to that depends a little bit on what the rest of the stack looks like. We sit at the bottom of the stack, right? So ideally, we don't want to have organizations have to go get raw data from the chain, mm-hmm. because with that raw data, you have all of the data and information that has meaning completely commingled with all of this low level, like protocol kind of stuff, right? All the Ethereum stuff is mixed in with your meaningful financial data. And when you get the raw data, you have to have like an extraction process to pull the meaning out of that base level data.
Uh-huh.
And that's a real mess, you know, and it's a problem that's very technical and not super financial. You got to get that done before you can get to the financial part of it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think for us, we'd be happy to provide that data directly to organizations that want to work with it themselves to be able to separate that out and just give them the data that has the meaning that they can work with. But also for people who use dedicated crypto blockchain type accounting or tax tools or things like that, you know, we're working to build integrations with those so that we can bring better data into those places. Because, you know, in general, those tools are solving the same problem. Like I said in the beginning, like everybody's got to solve that base level problem. Since it's the only thing that we do, we think we're pretty good at it, and providing a better, cleaner data stream into those softwares or directly into the hands of CFOs if they're working with it themselves, is just setting them up for success by having a better starting point.
I think a really good example of what you're describing with kind of like having to extract the important stuff out of the data is something like having the block number included in the transactional data, where it's important for, you know, validating that this transaction actually happened on chain. It is important. It's not unimportant data. But to someone in a finance stack, do they really need to know what block it came in? Not really. I mean, there may be instances where they do, but I mean, it's you know, it just shows which batch it was processed within on chain. And you know, as long as you have the timestamp or whatever like that, and you can kind of do your accrual accounting around that, you may not need the block number or things like that. So, and I think another good example is, you know, smart contracts that have enough time on chain for it to be very well known what they are, like the ETH USDC pool on Uniswap, for example. You know, having that as a name for that contract address rather than the string of alphanumeric code is more helpful, because it actually tells me more about what's going on rather than just being able having to guess at what that contract is or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, for us, we have a very broad kind of definition of, you know, human friendly data, which is how we would term our data. And a lot of people kind of throw that around, but for us, it means not only producing something like what you just said, like tags and labels for things, for a summary sentence that says, hey, this is what this transaction was, which makes it literally easy for a human to read. But we also mean, you know, the structure of the data underneath is uh-huh. easy to work with, whether that's in a spreadsheet or bringing it into a software tool or reviewing it in an audit or whatever. Having well-structured, you know, normalized data
uh-huh.
makes your for people to get their jobs done who have to actually work with that data.
Yeah. If you're manipulating the data, you know, like I was my previous example with Polygon scan or Etherscan or whatever, when you have to pull it from the different tabs, each tab has a different structure of how the data is laid out. And so when you have that kind of uniformity, you can then run those analytics on that data more easily because it's already the compiling of the data is already done. It's already clean. And yeah. Cool.
Exactly.
So what do you see as the main challenges for the average crypto CFO out there?
Wow. Well,
loaded question, I know.
I think it's fair to say that crypto CFOs sort of are the dumping ground for a lot of the problems. And it stems from the fact that, you know, unlike a lot of other industries, so much of this is driven by developers, by technical people who are free to just innovate at the pace that they can write code and they can shove code out the door, right? Like there are no constraints on so many people just pumping things out, which is great, and which is breeding, you know, a lot of innovation and a lot of new ideas and a lot of testing and trying things. But none of those people have one thought for the poor people who have to deal with the data streams that come out of this stuff that they're putting together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I am not envious of people who are in that position. So I think, like, for sure, one challenge is just keeping up with what is being done in terms of even knowing, because there are new primitives and new ideas. And I think that, like you said earlier, a lot of those have an analog in the Web 2 world or the old world or the accounting world or whatever you want to call it. But sometimes when there's a new Web 3 idea, figuring out how that maps to the older ideas, it is a bit of a challenge.
Uh-huh.
And there's new things like that coming out all the time, right? So having to just kind of figure out how X or Y or Z thing applies into the books or how you're doing things seems like a huge problem.
Yeah, I think that, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, these are all ledgers, right? So they're inherently accounting tools, but they're being built by developers who don't always have an accounting background, right? So there's therein lies the major challenge, I think, and the major disconnect that we've seen in the industry thus far, because, yeah, like you're saying, these are built by developers and they're going at their own pace. And then we as accounting professionals or people that are looking at the data afterwards have to then figure out how do we apply old antiquated rules to this new stuff that's being developed by people who don't always have an accounting mindset at heart, right? And so, I mean, ultimately it's a ledger so we can see what happened on chain. But I think that, you know, a good example of this is, you know, reflection tokens. So on like Binance Smart Chain, there's a lot of tokens that now automatically every transaction, there's a piece of that that gets sent to as a tax and as a, you know, maybe a fee to the team. And you don't even see that on chain. You see it updated in the wallet balances of everyone on that is a holder of that token, but you don't see that happening on chain. So I had to do that with one client recently, and it's just a nightmare because you're having to basically take snapshots of the wallet balances and then true that up with off-chain transactions to update those balances to get to plug basically. And so, you know, it's a good example of like, okay, let's innovate, but we're not thinking at all about the accounting consequences of this.
No. I also think that it's just trying to, especially as we see the explosion and expansion in chains, and now that we're moving to, you know, people are building app-specific chains and micro roll-ups and things like this, as a CFO, trying to keep your arms around more and more and more sources of data,
uh-huh,
is going to be an expanding problem as we go, because these things are going to pop up. People are building, you know, development kits to make it easier and faster to launch your own micro chains and things like this. And that's going to present an additional challenge. And then knowing whether you have, you know, the further out you get, the less mainstream something is, the less good the tooling around those things is. And so your certainty that you have all of the data or the right data is going to go down,
mm-hmm,
as we get closer to the edges. But the thing is, the edges are going to be more and more where we are. So,
mm-hmm. And it's ever expanding too, right? You know, it's, yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I think that it's an interesting, you know, it's one of the reasons that keeps the industry interesting as well from a professional standpoint. That's why I love working in it. It's a challenge, but I like the challenge. And, you know, coming from the cannabis industry was a cool niche to be a part of because there's a nice culture around, I think there's a nice culture around the you know, cannabis. But, you know, outside of one real sentence in the Internal Revenue Code, there's not a lot to learn about with regards to cannabis. But that's what I love about crypto is that, you know, you could spend a lifetime learning this stuff and you'll continue to learn more and you'll continue to be presented with new challenges. So very cool. So I'd love to get into kind of like what's on your roadmap. Like, what are you guys looking to add as functionality for your tools, and what do you see the project going in the future?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of stuff actually. One thing is we're working hard to expand our perspective on chains or where our coverage is on chains. We're currently on pushing 30 chains, but like I mentioned, we have this whole thing coming where the number of chains is just going to get really big, really fast. And so we're engineering hard for how we can cover those. And the way that our tool is built, we designed from the ground up to be able to run in a very kind of like just-in-time mode, as opposed to data tools, which require that you start by indexing everything and then you can go from there. We can kind of deploy and just go live, which I think is going to be increasingly, you know, valuable as time goes on here. We're also working, we're working on a product that we're calling a data room, which is basically a kind of sits above where our current data tools are to help you organize all of your data and make sure you have all of your data together in one place, that it's at a very basic level reconciled. And it's not like an accounting tool or anything like that, but just to make sure that everything on the chain ties so that you know you have all of the answers. So if there were reflection tokens that you weren't accounting for, the balance wouldn't match. So you would know that there was missing and you needed to get. And that really puts your data kind of in your control so that your organization's data or your customer's data, you know, in one place that you can bring wherever you want to go with it. We're also ramping up our efforts to try to get involved with chains early on, because when new chains are coming out or when they're launching rollups and stuff like that, they all have the same basic problems that they're dealing with on the data side, which is they need to be able to get their data off for accounting, for their own accounting and for their ecosystem partners' accounting. They need to put up a block explorer. They need to have wallets with functionality. And so we're working to try to get more involved with the chain so that we can help them get a data stack set up that starts them off in a great place instead of trying to solve those in sort of like a lagging way.
Yeah. Cause that's a big challenge for new chains, and is having reliable data. And especially, you know, without the funding to have people build that, again, it's a less, obviously it's an incredible, you couldn't have block bands without the explorers because you need to be able to validate what's happening on chain. Right. But it also it's often lower on the totem pole because people don't find it as sexy. It's not as, it doesn't pump the price, like, you know, an announcement of a partnership or something like that, where, you know, people aren't going to like rave about how we got a new blockchain explorer, but it's fundamental to how this stuff works. So, you know, we're the forgotten heroes, you know, often the accountants and the data compilers and the query software and all that stuff, but we're important, I swear. Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I would love to kind of just finish off by asking, you know, how can people learn more about you or get in contact with you regarding Nobez?
So you can check our website out. Is it noves.fi? You can find us on Twitter or on LinkedIn. I'm on there. Obviously, you can ping me there. Or if you want to shoot me an email, I'm ben@noves.fi. I'm happy to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ben, and really great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It was nice chatting with you.
And one last thing, we're using Nobez's data for our upcoming, or we actually just launched the trip around the cryptoverse. So we're using the data that Nobez provides to help download the data off chain and compile things. So check that course out as well, and you'll get a firsthand look at the tool. So anyways, thanks again, Ben, and we'll see you later.
Bye.